This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The White House gets pressure on American hostages held in Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I know that Secretary Kerry is meeting with his Iranian counterpart in New York today, principally to talk about the current ongoing nuclear negotiations. In the past, he has taken the opportunity of those kinds of visits to reiterate our significant concerns about the treatment and well-being of those American citizens and to ask for their immediate release. And I don't want to prejudge his meeting, but the State Department will provide a readout.
It sounds like from this meeting, you don't expect, it's not supposed to be a deeply substantive meeting as much as kind of a benchmark in the process.
Well, it's not going to be like the Lausanne talks where we had perhaps days and days of detailed negotiations, but it's certainly going to be focused on all the same issues, even if they're not going to get into as much detail, just given the limited time.
This week, we're going to, in my view, deal with one of the most concerning, one of the most dangerous, one of the most treacherous issues that we will face. It's the question of Iran. It's the question of their ability to acquire nuclear weapons.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We're very grateful that Senator Corker and Senator Cardin were able to reach an agreement. This legislation will be on the floor of the Senate this week. There will be a lot of pretty awful amendments, quite frankly, and we'll see where we end up. The president has said that if the Corker-Cardin legislation stays where it is, he will not veto it. If it becomes something else, then he'll have to consider his options.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The Senate is debating the Iranian legislation that would give Congress some power. Now, it's an interesting kind of power. It's a power after the fact. So they don't proactively approve, but they would retroactively disapprove of an Iranian deal. So it would give some power to the House of the Senate, a two-thirds vote, similar to kind of like a treaty, but it involves both houses of Congress. And so you've got the House of the Senate involved there. There are amendments being proposed as well. And a couple of those amendments are focused on the Americans being held hostage by Iran, specifically Pastor Saeed Abedini, Amir Hekmati, Jason Rezaian, and Robert Levinson, who is missing in Iran, and the U.S. believes that Iran knows where he is located. Now we're starting to see the pressure. You just heard Wendy Sherman, a top U.S. State Department official, and really the lead, other than Secretary Kerry, on the nuclear negotiations. So an Obama official saying that the amendments are awful. Now, these are amendments that say no deal unless the Americans are returned. Very simple. They're not trying to look into the nuclear framework. They're not looking into the science of the matter. This is, if you want us to go to point B, you've got to meet us at point A. And point A is get the Americans home. And Than, that's the real point here is, I hear Wendy Sherman call it pretty awful, this amendment. I mean, I'm looking at both of them, from Senator Rich, from Senator Rubio. These are very simple, and they just say, get the Americans home before this deal goes into place, if there is a deal.
Yeah, Jordan, and the key point here is that these amendments are not designed to kill the deal here. Some of the amendments might be. The amendments on the prisoners are not. And in fact, I think if the supporters of this deal, if the people that put this framework together would take an honest look at these amendments, I think they would realize they could add them to the underlying language, and it would still pass the United States Senate. So that's the important point. These aren't poison pill amendments. These are amendments that can be accepted.
The White House is under pressure as well. We come back, you'll hear James Rosen from Fox News ask Josh Earnest about this situation in Iran with these Americans. Are they being held hostage? I want to take your phone calls, folks. Our lines are open. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As we head towards the end of this month, we have a matching challenge right now. If you're able to donate to the ACLJ, the impact of your donation is doubled. So it's a great time to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice. You can do that online at aclj.org. or by phone. Call now, 877-989-2255. Support the American Center for Law and Justice, 877-989-2255.
It is a critical time. As U.S. and Iranian negotiators sit at the bargaining table, it's time that the plight of the four Americans held hostage in Iran, including American pastor Saeed Abedini, are raised at the bargaining table, not on the sidelines. The U.S. must demand the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans before any deal with the Iranians is finalized. Now on Capitol Hill, there's discussion and debate about the negotiations. At the ACLJ, we're calling on Congress to stand up for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans. We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go through with you that the actual legislation, the main legislation, is the Corker, who's a Republican, Cardin, who's a Democrat in the Senate. It's about, of course, the Iranian nuclear deal and what power Congress will have. And President Obama has signaled that he would be okay with this retroactive power by Congress. So if there was going to be sanctions relief, if there's going to be a change in relationship in the way Iran, any relief Iran were to receive because of the nuclear deal, that Congress wouldn't have to, would not get to immediately agree or disagree, but they would have the power with a supermajority, which is very difficult for them to ever put together, two-thirds majority, to go back and stop sanctions relief. So it gives Congress some ability to act. And listen, there's a lot of people debating whether or not it's enough, whether or not this is a good piece of legislation. And, of course, this all is preconditioned on the fact that will there actually be a nuclear deal? The discussions are ongoing. John Kerry was with the Iranian foreign minister yesterday in the United States in New York discussing this. So the ongoing, but there's two amendments proposed. I want to focus on both of them quickly for you. I'll just read them because then I'm going to play for you some of the sound. Democrats in the U.S. Senate, Obama allies, really trying to attack these amendments as if that they are focused on trying to destroy this deal. They seem pretty basic to me, folks. Take a listen. Limitation of actions based on detention of United States citizens. This is from Senator Rich. He's from Idaho, so he represents the Abedini family. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, the president may not waive, suspend, reduce, provide relief from, or otherwise limit the application of statutory sanctions with respect to Iran under any provision of law or refrain from applying any such sanctions pursuant to an agreement described in subsection A until the government of Iran releases to the United States the following United States citizens. A. Saeed Abedini of Idaho, who has been detained in Iran on charges related to his religious beliefs since September 2012. B. Amir Hekmati of Michigan. C. Jason Rezian of California. And D. Robert Levinson of Florida. Does that seem awful to you? Because take a listen. This is the lead State Department negotiator, Wendy Sherman, speaking at the Religious Action Center about this proposed amendment. Take a listen. Bite 11.
We're very grateful and grateful that Senator Corker and Senator Cardin were able to reach an agreement. This legislation will be on the floor of the Senate this week. There will be a lot of pretty awful amendments, quite frankly, and we'll see where we end up. President has said that if the Corker-Cardin legislation stays where it is, he will not veto it. If it becomes something else, then he'll have to consider his options.
Do you think that's becoming something else? I mean, this is where the State Department's got to put the pressure. There are some amendments out there that would make this deal more difficult and the legislation more difficult. Are these amendments that? Let's hear. This is another one. This is from Senator Rubio. Again, here we go. All U.S. citizens unjustly detained by Iran, including Jason Rezaian, Amir Hekmati, and Saeed Abedini, have been released from Iranian custody. So no action until that occurs by the government of Iran. That's it. I mean, it's literally a paragraph. So it says, you know, hey, this can move forward. Congress is not going to disapprove. It has to put together two-thirds majority to do so. But until these are released, then you cannot start giving sanctions relief to the Iranians. Seems very simple. This is not about Iranian human rights and changing the how they treat minority religious people or political dissent or other groups or their foreign policy or their support for terror around the world. This is just about getting our own Americans home. And it's being called awful by the State Department. Take another listen. Here's Senator Coons. He's a Democrat from Delaware. He was just on the Senate floor right before we went on the air talking about the amendments to free the Americans and saying that those cannot be included. That's why this is a fight, folks. You'd think everybody would unite around this and say, let's get these Americans home. Take a listen. Senator Coons, an Obama ally, a Democrat.
Iran must release the four Americans it currently holds hostage. I think everybody in this body would agree that these are legitimate concerns for our consideration, yet the truth remains they are outside the scope of the current negotiations around Iran's nuclear program. And Congress must resist the temptation.
Now, folks, let me just jump right in there. You see how he's trying to have it both ways? Senator Coons says they're outside the scope of the negotiations. Of course Iran should release them. Iran is not going to act that way. That's not how Iranians act. They'll say, oh, of course we need to do this, so we're going to do it. There has to be pressure points, things that they care about. And what do they care about? Sanctions relief. It's so clear when you listen to the Iranian foreign minister. They need money. They need resources. That's how their regime will survive. And that, again, is a whole point to debate. Are we helping prop up this horrible regime in Iran by even thinking about the idea of this sanctions relief? But they're not going to do things out of good faith and goodwill just because they should. That's not how this regime acts. They're not logical. They're not rational. They do it because of pressure. They may do it out of a good faith effort to get sanctions relief, but it's hard to imagine why else they would do it. And so I go back to this. He then also said in there that, you know, this is a separate process. And yet every time the U.S. State Department's asked about it, the White House is asked about it, though they try to make a distinction between the nuclear deal and the Americans, there is no discussion about the Americans that isn't linked to the fact that the only reason we're sitting across the table from Iran is because of the nuclear discussion. There would be no back and forth.
They may have been separate issues at one point, Jordan. We're long past that point. Yep. We've been sitting across the table. We have a framework agreement in place. We're about ready to consider signing a final agreement. All of these issues have become intertwined. And, you know, the only way that Senator Coons and others can take the position that you just heard him take is if he would think that it's okay to sign a final deal with Iran if these prisoners remain in prison. That is not an acceptable position to take. But I would just say, I think there's a path forward for Senator Coons and for the others who are resisting the idea of adding amendments to this debate. Senator Corker and Senator Cardin have said that they are going to remain on the Senate floor during this debate and that the proponents of these amendments can come to them and talk to them to see if they can work out some language. I know for a fact that Senator Risch and Senator Rubio are doing that right now. That's where we come in, Jordan. We are saying we want language agreed to. If you need to tweak it a little bit, that's okay. But the prisoners have to be front and center. We can't have a deal unless they're home.
Folks, we need to hear from you on this. This debate is happening right now in the United States Senate. And we need to make sure that these United States senators know you support adding one of these very basic, clear amendments to this legislation. Call now. You can add your name to the petition by phone, 877-989-2255. It's a toll-free number. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. It's simple. Release the Americans, and then the president will have more power to provide some sanctions relief as there is a deal being negotiated on the nuclear issue. If the Americans aren't released, no economic relief. It puts a lot of pressure on Iran in a way that the United States has not really had in a very long time, because there's been no diplomatic relationship since 1979. There hasn't been a direct dialogue. The sanctions have been very heavy on Iran. And so this gives a lot more leverage. And yet you've got State Department officials against this, calling it awful. You have Democrat senators taking to the floor of the United States Senate. We just played that, saying this is wrong, and though the Americans should be released, this is not the right way to do it, as if they are somehow now experts in this area, because it's the first time I've ever heard Senator Coons speak out publicly on this on the floor of the United States Senate. It seems very partisan. But I want to go to your phone calls as well, 1-800-684-3110. Glenn is calling in from Colorado online, too. Glenn, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jordan. God bless you and what you do. First of all, I want to encourage everybody to pray, first thing and foremost. But as we've learned in the past, you can't negotiate with terrorists. I mean, there's just no bargaining chip in the middle, nothing. So I agree. I'm glad to see this movement. It's either, it's got to be no Americans, no deal, no support, no monies, no nothing. Just the fact that we send money to them in support, it's just, it's so backwards. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the number one, and I think if your phone call, Glenn, a great call. Number one state sponsor of terrorism in the world. We're supposed to trust them now with a nuclear program, but not a nuclear weapons program. And they won't, again, we're not asking, none of these are asking for Iran to reform their entire judiciary, to have an open and free and fair election process, to have real human rights and real freedom of speech. This is about Americans getting Americans home. Now, when we come back from the break, the White House was asked directly about this yesterday by James Rosen from Fox News. One, are these Americans being held against their will? Two, are these Americans hostages? We will play that sound when we come back. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I would be remiss, as we're here in Washington, D.C., not to say that we need to be praying for Baltimore and the city of Baltimore and the riots there, for the people, the police, the security, the first responders, firefighters, that situation is resolved peacefully between the people and the government. And so we should be in prayer there. And, of course, the marriage case at the United States Supreme Court, there's some analysis starting to come out from that as well. We're focused, though, on right now on Saeed Abedini and the Americans held hostage by Iran. We cannot forget this, as the debate is going on right now in the United States Senate. We have a matching challenge. Anything you donate is doubled. You can donate online at aclj.org or by phone 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is a critical time. As U.S. and Iranian negotiators sit at the bargaining table, it's time that the plight of the four Americans held hostage in Iran, including American pastor Saeed Abedini, are raised at the bargaining table, not on the sidelines. The U.S. must demand the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans before any deal with the Iranians is finalized. Now on Capitol Hill, there's discussion and debate about the negotiations. At the ACLJ, we're calling on Congress to stand up for Pastor
Saeed and the other Americans. We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's play this first. Jonathan Carl from ABC News, he asks Josh Earnest, why would you not use this situation to get the Americans out of Iran? The fact that we're at the negotiating table, everything we're talking about right now, this is mainstream media. This is ABC News. This is not this is not just us. It's not just conservatives. It's not Christians. It's just mainstream media asking very basics. And you know why? It's because one of their own is being imprisoned there now in Iran and charged with some serious national security offenses. That's Jason Rezaian from the Washington Post. You'll hear Jonathan Carl mention him. Take a listen. Bite one.
Why not use this moment of leverage that you have with the Iranians to push for the release of not just Jason Rezaian? Of course, there are four Americans held prisoner in Iran. Why not use this leverage, as you did with the Cuba deal, to get Alan Gross released, to get these Americans released?
The United States does, on a regular basis, raise the case of these individuals with our Iranian counterparts.
Wait, I thought it was so separate. I thought this was something that was totally different from the nuclear talks. I thought that this had nothing to do with it. And so, what's the truth? Where does the administration actually stand on whether or not, you know, he's, again, Josh Earnest from the White House says, U.S. on a regular basis raise those individuals with our Iranian counterparts. How do you do that? Well, you can only do that through these nuclear talks because there's no other diplomatic dialogue between the United States in Iran. But then James Rosen from Fox News, he asked kind of a simple two-part question, again to Josh Earnest. Take a listen, Bite 7.
With respect to the individuals who are being held in Iran, is it the view of the Obama administration that these individuals are in fact being held against their will?
It is our view that these citizens that we've talked about, these three citizens, are individuals who are being unjustly detained in Iran. We believe that they should be released. And as American citizens, we believe that they should be returned back to the United States where they can be reunited with their families.
I mean, that's great. I'm glad that they believe that that should happen. But what are you doing about it? Are they hostages? Are they being held hostage? James Rosen then asked, follow-up question, by a foreign government because they're in negotiations on sanctions and economic relief. Bite 8.
Is it the view of President Obama and his national security team that these individuals being held against their will in Iran are in fact hostages?
I don't know if there's a special legal determination that goes along with that particular word. So what I would say is simply that we believe these individuals should be released, that they are being unjustly detained, and that they should be released so that they can be reunited with their families back here in the United States.
Again, folks, we want this to happen. We believe this should happen. Are they doing anything to make it happen? And why then are they having their allies go out and the State Department itself calling the amendments like Senator Rubio's and Senator Rich's amendment to the legislation being debated right now awful? You've got Senator Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, an ally, saying that it's a separate issue. So even though the Americans should be out, it shouldn't be included here. What is the concern? You know what scares me? If they are that concerned about this language being in their than, that means, honestly, someone like Senator Coons believes that we could get to June, July, and these Americans aren't yet home, and we've got a nuclear deal with Iran.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I think the follow-up question, one that I'd like to see it asked today, Jordan, is there any scenario in which you would sign a deal with Iran without these prisoners home? Because, Jordan, if the honest answer to that is that no, they would not sign a deal unless these prisoners are home, then there is absolutely no reason to oppose these amendments being inserted into this deal. Because remember, it doesn't do anything to change the Senate's review of the underlying deal. It just simply says the prisoners have to come home before any deal goes into place. If this president is committed to getting these prisoners home anyway, there is no reason to oppose that language being in the Senate bill.
Folks, we have a matching challenge right now. Anything you're able to donate to the ACLJ, a financial contribution, is doubled. The impact has doubled. So this is a great time, if you thought about it as we approach the end of the month, donating to the American Center for Law and Justice. This is a great time to do it. You can make a donation online safely, simply, quickly at aclj.org. That's aclj.org to make the donation online. You can also donate via phone. The toll-free number is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We still have our petition up. We've got to fight this in the United States Senate right now, folks. To add your name to the petition, you go to aclj.org or call 877-989-2255. Rhea is calling from Washington State on line 4. Rhea, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. Hey, Rhea, you're on the air. You still there?
Oh, I am. I am. I'm sorry. I'm calling because, you know, as I said, if his heart was in the right place, when this was aired back in the end of last year where he went to Idaho to meet with Saeed's wife, I believe it was just posturing. Because you know what? I don't believe anything this man says. He is anti-American. And to be dealing with terrorists, with people who want to do away with Israel, with people who say death to America, who deals with terrorists? And the reason we are here right now is because he has extended these negotiation talks forever. No, I don't believe any of our leaders would have done this. You don't reward terrorists with a deal and give them a $50 billion incentive. They've made no, you know, we're making all these concessions for terrorists. And quite frankly, if Obama had really been serious about getting our people out of Iran, he would have done this at the very beginning of the talks. But because there's pressure on him now, all of a sudden, they're going to start negotiating or talking about it.
And Rhea, here's my point. I think I don't want to question any Americans wanting to see that other Americans get released. I think that all Americans agree on that. The question is, some of us, you know, some people you're listening out there, you can only do so much. You're not the president of the United States. You're not the lead negotiator from the State Department on the nuclear issue. You can support us and the work that we're doing. You can support these calls from the United States Senate. Even they can only do so much. I want to say two things. One, the fact that these discussions are ongoing is because of everybody out there listening right now. The fact that Jonathan Carl from ABC News is asking the White House about it, and Wendy Sherman's getting questions about it from the State Department's lead negotiator on the nuclear issue, and James Rosen's asking about it. And so it's not just one, it's multiple, and you've got the reporters and journalists at the State Department continuing to ask about it. You've got reporters asking about what is going on, and the State Department is saying, you know, it does come up. Here's that's point one. Point two is this. For all of us out there who question where the president stands on this issue and the deal and the strategy to get these Americans out, let's remember this. If these Americans were out, think about the change in the dialogue that would happen. You know, it would kind of clear the stage to actually focus on the nuclear issue instead of having all these other issues that should stand in the way. They're not distractions. They should stand in the way. So even if the president, Rhea, is just thinking politically, you would think this is something that he could say to Iran, listen, I've got to get this done to get to the next point on this. So even there, you know, to me, it's not so much about good faith efforts, it's about getting these Americans home. That's the focus. That's the point. If you agree, stand with us. Call 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. Remember, another half hour of the broadcast coming up. We will continue to take your phone calls. Stay on the line. If you're on the line, if you want to talk to us, the number to call is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is a great time to stand with the ACLJ. Anything you donate to us online or by phone is doubled. It's the matching challenge. You can donate online at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255.
We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular Live, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The debate is ongoing on the floor of the United States Senate on the Iranian nuclear issue. Now, I want to set the stage, Stan. Let's explain to everybody the main legislation that's being debated and then the amendments that are now causing so much debate and issue on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
The main legislation, Jordan, is called the Iran Nuclear Review Act, and essentially it sets up the mechanism by which the House and the Senate would be able to review any potential deal. Now, you described this in the first half of the broadcast, but it's important for people to understand. It sets up a right to reject a deal rather than a right to accept it. So, assuming a presidential veto would follow that vote, and it likely would, what it ultimately sets up is you would need only one-third of the United States Senate and one-third of the United States House to allow a deal to go forward. So it's a right to reject and requires a supermajority as opposed to a right to approve. Now, the amendments that we've been talking about today deal with the four Americans that are in Iran, three in prison and one presumably missing or whereabouts unknown. And the amendments simply say, listen, we are not going to move forward on a deal until those four people, those four Americans are home in the United States. It does not speak to the underlying deal. It does not take a position on it. It just inserts into the mechanism for congressional review this prisoner issue. We think that Senator Corker and Senator Cardin could add it to their underlying deal without compromising anything in the deal. You know, we heard Senator Coons just a couple of segments ago call these prisoners a sticking point. I just want to underscore something that you closed the last segment with. They sure better be a sticking point. We sure better not get a deal that the United States Senate signs off of and leave those four Americans home. They sure better be a sticking point in this deal.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. On the broadcast, again, these amendments, as Stan has explained, they're very simple. Let's play that sound from Senator Coons. He's a Democrat from Delaware. Again, Stan just referenced that, so you understand that this is a fight on the floor of the United States Senate to get basic amendments. I read them in the first half hour, and they're literally a paragraph. All U.S. citizens unjustly detained by Iran, including Jason Rezi and Amir Hegmati Saeed Abedini, must be released from Iranian custody before any sanctions relief is given by the president. That's the summary of both from Senator Rich and Senator Rubio. Both have offered separate amendments that get to the same point. And I'm sure they would work together on the language as well. But let's take a listen. Senator Coons is already saying, hey, as Democrats, we need to oppose this. Take a listen.
Iran must release the four Americans it currently holds hostage. I think everybody in this body would agree that these are legitimate concerns for our consideration, yet the truth remains they are outside the scope of the current negotiations around Iran's nuclear program. And Congress must resist the temptation to make them a sticking point in those negotiations by including them as amendments to this bill.
Shame on Senator Coons. I mean, part of me, I won't do this until I talk to Than. It feels like giving out his phone number to his Senate office right now and just having you all say that. Shame on you for saying that these Americans being held hostage by Iran should not be part of the deal, that they are unrelated to the deal. And then, I'll talk about this the break. I don't want to distract and just focus on one senator. But I think, you know, he's trying to have it both ways, and he's doing the talking points to the administration. Oh, you know, we want these Americans out, but they are unrelated to this. They shouldn't be a sticking point to this. Shame on U.S. Senator Coons. Chris Coons from Delaware. You can look up the information, too, if you'd like, to contact. But I think, you know, it's one thing to say it should only be this, the legislation. It's another to say it should only be this, and here's why I think you're wrong, and talk about the Americans this way. Call now, 877-989-2255 to express your support for this amendment, the petition. I mean, this debate is ongoing. That was just before we started the broadcast today, 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And sign the petition online. We come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Day after day.
It is a critical time. As U.S. and Iranian negotiators sit at the bargaining table, it's time that the plight of the four Americans held hostage in Iran, including American pastor Saeed Abedini, are raised at the bargaining table, not on the sidelines. The U.S. must demand the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans before any deal with the Iranians is finalized. Now on Capitol Hill, there's discussion and debate about the negotiations. At the ACLJ, we're calling on Congress to stand up for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans. We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Into another world that's filled with guilt and overwhelming shame.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are going to go right to your phone call. Some of you have been holding on. I want to go to James in Washington State on line three. James, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Jordan. God bless you guys and all the work you do. Hey, why don't we use the same words that they used to get Goldberg Dole released? No Americans left behind. They traded one traitor for five terrorists. Why not trade three Americans for a nuclear arms deal? This is just incredible.
Well, you know, I think, James, the only distinction they can make there, I mean, other than the fact that he was a current service member, and I, you know, I don't think you want to leave any Americans behind, even those who have done things that are wrong. It's now you could question how much of an extent you go to. That they'll say there that they were kind of dealing with some kind of non-state actor, that it was, you know, it was these Taliban fighters. And that's, you know, it was brokered through a third party. And typically in the past, this is how situations involving U.S. citizens detained in Iran, imprisoned in Iran, like the hikers, were handled by third parties. But we're dealing with Iran. It's not the Taliban. They are a state actor. The U.S. has not had a diplomatic relationship. So early on in the situation involving Saeed, our focus was third-party actors who could act as kind of a middleman between Iran and the United States, because there literally was zero. There was some back channeling, but that was about it. There was no face-to-face negotiations. There was no meetings between our top diplomat and their top diplomat. Even if to call any Iranian official a top diplomat is kind of a bizarre statement to say, but just for the facts of the situation. And so the situation has changed substantially and differently. I think you could just be outraged, though. It's gone on way too long. Amir Hekmati's family has obviously hit a tipping point. We don't represent them, so I'm only going to say what they say publicly. And, you know, that's because I understand is representing Saeed and the Abedini family. We, again, you know, it's careful what you say. You're representing your client. But his mother said, basically, even though the president at the White House Correspondents' Dinner mentioned Jason Rezaian from the Washington Post, and he said, and you know, it was a journalist dinner. It's, you know, it's mostly jokes, but there was a moment of seriousness. So he didn't mention Amir Hekmati. He didn't mention Saeed. And I think most people would say, okay, you know, it's kind of the audience, know your audience. He's talking just to journalists, and it's not necessarily a bad thing for the other Americans. that he still mentioned it in the fact with his high-profile room. At the same time, Amir Hekmati's mother goes to ABC News and says, listen, this is how closely the Iranian prison officials are following this. So this is not the Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander. This is not the Ayatollah. This is not Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran. The prison guards in Iran started taunting Amir Hekmati, whose name wasn't mentioned, because the president didn't mention his name. So they actually said, look, he talks about the other American, but he doesn't talk about you. Now, these are prison guards. Now, of course, these are high-profile prisoners. I'd call them hostages at this point because of the negotiation. But it does underscore, and Thana underscores, the importance of all of the language that's used, every statement that's used, not just by us and those who are advocates, but by our government officials. Because even a statement of a positive statement about someone like Jason Rezaian, if it doesn't include the others now, is being seen as a slap in the face to the others, as if they're somehow forgotten. Of course, that's not the case. But it's how the even a prison guard in Iran, probably not very sophisticated person, is taking what's happening at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C., and using it against an American prisoner.
Yeah, and it's really no wonder, Jordan, that the Hekmati family is so frustrated. And for me, it really comes down to, I mean, you know, the claim with Amir was that he is not being prioritized with the other prisoners. And while I don't think that is true, I think it is very true that this has not been a priority for this administration. I mean, that's what the actions say. They have chosen to prioritize the nuclear negotiations, the nuclear agreement, over the release of these prisoners. So whether you're, you know, Saeed Abedini or Amir Hekmati or Jason Rezaian or Robert Levinson's family, you look at the situation, you look at the actions of your government, and you see clearly that your loved ones, the welfare and the release of your loved ones, has clearly taken a secondary place on the priority list of this administration to other things. That is not acceptable, and there's no other way to go than to get at this place of frustration like the Hekmatis have.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We have a matching challenge right now. Anything you're able to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. You can make that donation by phone at aclj.org. So it's a great time to support the ACLJ financially if you're able to. aclj.org or call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We've got a couple phone lines open if you want to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. Carla calling in from New York on line one. Carla, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thank you very much.
Thanks, Carla.
I'm just concerned that the Iranians are using on the hostages for leverage, and it would be such a bad deal. So they, you know how when people negotiate and they're gaming, they have a big picture in mind, and as a distraction, they'll give you a little bit, you know, of what you wanted. They'll give you a little fraction, and then they'll get away with the big part that they had in mind the whole time. So I just think it would be, you know, not to get distracted for a little bit of peace in our time. You know, don't let, like, if the hostages got out, oh, good, you know, they're good to make a deal with, because they're not trustworthy. They're sponsoring beheadings. They say, you know, every day, their leaders say, death to America. I mean, how can it be that we could possibly negotiate with them, enable them to get nuclear power?
You know, Carla, listen, I agree. I don't think that we say just because you release these Americans, we get to a deal. But I do think what we have to do is set some parameters because this deal is starting to move forward. One is the United States, and that's what these senators, Senator Rich and Rubio, are trying to say, is we are not going to allow the President of the United States to start giving sanctions relief to Iran without these Americans. So it's just dealing with reality. And we have to be realistic. We cannot just be philosophical. We have to deal with what's actually happening. What's actually happening is there could be some kind of deal. So we have, that's part one of this, is, okay, if there was, we better get these Americans home. Part two is also, Carla, why I want to underscore for everybody who may be concerned. Nothing about supporting the release of these Americans says that you support a nuclear deal. You're saying you must have these Americans home before any kind of deal could be implemented whatsoever. I would much rather be in a situation where these Americans were out and then we could really hash out the problems with Iran, the issues with Iran, but they've got our hostages. They have American hostages. That's why these governments, that's why people do this. These evil governments, they take people and then they see, you know, what can they get for a return? And all we're saying is all you get is a continued discussion. You know, it's one thing to say have an open kind of dialogue with Iran. It's another to say that there's got to be a deal, and that is not the case here. Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. There is a lot of pressure and a lot of support for these Americans building in Washington, D.C. I mean, Than, I see it from ABC News. I see it from Fox News. I see AP reporters. I see the White House officials, State Department officials. And now we have U.S. senators debating this on the floor of the United States Senate. I think back to, even though this should be over, if people don't continue to talk about it, if people don't continue to speak out about it, you know, these Senate office, they've got to know about it. They've got to realize the priority. And I think it's been made very clear how much of a priority this is for a lot of Americans.
Yeah, and I actually think that's exactly why, Jordan, you saw the hostile tone from Wendy Sherman. You saw the hostile tone from Chris Coons, because there is so much support in D.C. that if one of these amendments is able to come up to the floor for a vote, I think it's got a very good chance of passing, of getting the 60 votes that it needs to be added to this deal, because so many people have spoken out. So many of these senators have heard from literally hundreds of their constituents that this is a priority for them, that it becomes a very problematic addition strategically to add it to a deal. So what we, again, are trying to say to Senator Corker and Senator Cardin is this is not a threat to your underlying piece of legislation. In fact, you can talk with the sponsors. You can talk to Senator Risch. You can talk to Senator Rubio. And you can come up with a way to word this that does not compromise the coalition that you pulled together. It is not an effort to defeat the bill. It is an effort to just simply make sure that these prisoners are home. And then senators can make their own mind up on the underlying bill. But you can add it to your bill without compromising its ability to pass.
Folks, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We need to hear from you, and we need to speak out. You call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. We come back, we will take more of your phone calls. We have a matching challenge right now at aclj.org. Anything you're able to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, it will be doubled. So double the impact. It's a great time to make a financial contribution to the ACLJ. You can do it online at aclj.org or by phone, 877-989-2255. We'll be right back. Just as you
were. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is a critical time. As U.S. and Iranian negotiators sit at the bargaining table, it's time that the plight of the four Americans held hostage in Iran, including American pastor Saeed Abedini, are raised at the bargaining table, not on the sidelines. The U.S. must demand the release of Pastor Saeed and the other Americans before any deal with the Iranians is finalized. Now on Capitol Hill, there's discussion and debate about the negotiations. At the ACLJ, we're calling on Congress to stand up for Pastor
Saeed and the other Americans. We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot happened in Washington today. You got the marriage case at the U.S. Supreme Court. The analysis starting to come out from that looks pretty evenly divided on where the justices come from an ideological background. Very difficult to predict, though. I mean, this would probably be down to a 5-4 kind of situation. Maybe not, but again, we'll see the analysis that comes out later today, the audio as that comes out later today as well, and people will be analyzing that. Second, of course, the Iranian issue, the nuclear issue, is taken front and center, and there's amendments being proposed by Senator Rich from Idaho, who represents the Abedini family, Senator Rubio as well, to make sure that any trigger to have any sanctions relief to Iran, that the Americans would have to be returned home first. And that they include by name Saeed Abedini, the American pastor imprisoned in Iran that we represent, but also includes Amir Hekmati, a former U.S. Marine imprisoned in Iran, Jason Rezian, a Washington Post reporter, American imprisoned in Iran, and Robert Levinson, who is a former FBI agent who was in a part of Iran where you can travel to, even without a passport. It's an economic free zone, and he was kind of taken captive, and the U.S. believes that the Iranian government knows where he is as well. We're going to continue to take your phone calls now because we need to support these amendments. Let's go to Solomon calling in from California online too. Solomon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to bring the point that Iranians came to the negotiation table after the sanctions were tightened, and they had no choice. So we are in a better position than they are. Why would we not bring in American people, American citizens back home before we relinquish anything to the Iranians? The other point I wanted to make is that they in Shia, there is what's called taqiya. Taqiya meaning that you can lie, you can conceal your real intent and get what you want, and then, you know, renege into the agreement that they have signed in that they will be agreeing to them with the United States and so forth. The same thing with the Sunnis. It's called Kitman. Prime Minister Netanyahu brought it up during the NBC interview, and of course, nobody paid attention to what he was saying. These people are going to lie. They're going to renege on the agreement, and it is allowed in the religion. It is allowed in Shia Iran. What do we do then?
Well, you know what? I think you're, Solomon, you bring up exactly the point. The Iranians have been, even with its economic sanctions that they have been dealing with, and this regime, remember the popular uprising, the Green Revolution 2009, which I think was a huge missed opportunity for the world. I mean, there's signs written in English. People were speaking out specifically to the West for assistance, and we missed that opportunity because, you know, when people were risking their lives to take to the streets. There are still people being executed today because of those protests in 2009. We have short-term memories in the United States. People in this part of the world and where Iran is located do not. And so they are master negotiators. And they have been able to even get to a point where, as, you know, Solomon, as you bring up these points, all these different issues, that they are able to take the major superpowers of the world. And it's as if they're making them nervous about doing anything that may upset Iran. But as you're saying, Solomon, which is true, the only reason that Iran is there is because they were economically so crippled. They need this economic sanctions relief to a point where they may publicly want to say this and that about the United States, and I think believe it. But at the same time, they're realistic about keeping hold of power. They're not logical. They're not rational. But they do want to keep the power that they have. And so, Solomon, I want to thank you for your phone call. We'll continue to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Then this ties with me to exactly what Senator Coons was saying, which is that we don't want to do anything that will disrupt this. We don't want to make this a sticking point of the deal. When he talks about the Americans being released, he says, you know, you want the Americans home, but don't make it a sticking point of a nuclear deal. What are we so afraid of when it comes to the Iranians, these negotiations? Let's say they walk away and we're not going to deal with the United States. Well, you know what? Shame on us for not getting those Americans out before that happened. But secondly, so what? So what if the Iranians walk away from the United States and UK and France and the European Union and Russia and China?
That's exactly the point. They need this deal more than the United States does. But, you know, I agree with Solomon. They have pushed the United States around, but they've only done it, Jordan, because we have allowed it. We've allowed them to set the terms for this debate, you know, and frankly, I'm more concerned with the position that our president has taken, that Iran doesn't have to fundamentally transform to get this deal. No, they absolutely have to fundamentally transform to get this deal. They have to recognize our allies. They have to recognize Israel's right to exist. They have to send our prisoners who are being unjustly detained home. Those are terms that the United States should have been setting. We failed to do it, and so Iran took advantage and took all of the ground that, Jordan, quite frankly, we ceded to them. So, yes, Iran is to blame, but we allowed them to do it.
Folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Tim calling in from Colorado, online 5. Tim, welcome to the United States. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. And we do appreciate your bringing the hostage situation to the forefront and keep going on that. My question today has a little more to do with the constitutional perspective of this bill. My understanding of the Constitution is that the president has the power to make treaties with foreign countries with the consent of 2/3 of the Senate.
Right.
As I understand the bill, it's saying that any treaty that is made will stand unless 2/3 of the Senate vote against it. Now, if that's accurate, it sounds to me like an abdication of their responsibility.
Well, Tim, it's a great question, and I'm not cutting you off because any negative reason, just because I want to answer it. First, they're not calling it a treaty. So that's one, you know, and sometimes they try to use these terms to try and get around it. Second, then, the way I read one of the reports, it also involves the House. House, so that's not part of the Constitution. This is a different kind of framework, and it's basically Congress trying to do something to have some kind of power if there is a deal that gets into place, because they don't want to be totally left out.
And the reason it's not formulated completely as a treaty, Jordan, is because you're talking about a sanction overlay that involves more than just U.S. statutory sanctions. You're talking about U.N.-based sanctions as well that Congress does not have control over. So there's a mix there, but you're right. While a treaty would take 2/3 to approve, this would take 2/3 to reject, but it's not the same as a treaty because it's dealing with more than just statutory sanctions. So we don't have time to get into all of the details, but that's the main reason for the different mechanism.
And so, I hope, Tim, that answers your question for you. Let's go to William in Georgia very quickly. He's been holding on. William, welcome to the show.
Hey, AJ. Jordan, how you doing? I just wanted to say this right quick. You know that we got two senators on the list, one saying that the talks of the Americans being out should be outside of the margins, outside of the periscope, if you put it. And then you got another one that's saying that, you know, yes, they're being brought up frequently, which the only opportunity that we had to even talk about was going to these sanctions.
Well, you know what, William? You're absolutely right. We don't have negotiations. We don't have the diplomatic relationship with Iran. The diplomatic dialogue, let's put it that way. I don't even think a relationship is the right term. Diplomatic dialogue without the nuclear discussions. So the reason why the U.S. is even able to bring this up on the, quote, sidelines, as they love to say, which seems so demeaning to me all the time, but that's what they say, is because of the nuclear talks. So we got to stand firm here. We need to stand firm for all of the Americans held hostage by Iran. There's four. We need to get them home as soon as possible. Call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org.
Well,
We're calling on Congress to pass legislation that requires the Iranians to release the captive Americans before any deal is finalized. It's time for Pastor Saeed and the other Americans to come home. Send a powerful message to the Obama administration and to Congress. No deal with Iran unless Pastor Saeed is freed. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.